Therefore, idam this jagat cosmic manifestation ashesham entire asat sarupam whose existence is unreal in the sense of temporary swapna abam like a dream astadishanam wherein awareness becomes covered over purudukudukam full of repeated miseries atvahi within you evap indeed nityab eternal sukha happy buddha conscious tano whose personal appearances anante who is unlimited mayataha by the illusory energy udyat coming forth api although yat which sat real eva as if avabati appears as a translation therefore this entire universe which is like a dream is by nature unreal nevertheless appears real and thus it covers one's consciousness and assails one with repeated miseries. This universe appears real because it is manifested by the potency of illusion emanating from you, whose unlimited transcendental forms are full of eternal happiness and knowledge. So purport by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, as an object of enjoyment or a permanent residence for the conditioned souls, the material universe is certainly illusion, nothing more than a dream. One may give the analogy that the vision of abundant water in the desert is no more than a dream, although real water exists elsewhere. Similarly, the vision of home, happiness, and reality within matter is certainly no better than a foolish dream in which repeated miseries appear. In another sense, however, the universe is real. In his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, Srila Madhvacharya has confirmed this by quoting the following statement from the Vedic Shruti mantras. Satyam yevedam vishvam asrijyata. This universe created by the Lord is real. The perfect authority of the Vedas thus certifies this universe to be real, nevertheless, because our knowledge is stolen by illusion, as indicated here by the words astadishanam, we cannot properly understand this universe or the Supreme Lord who has created it. As the expansion of Lord Krishna, the universe is real and is meant for being engaged in His service. One who accepts the kingdom of God as home, the Lord Himself as the object of love, and the material universe as paraphernalia for being engaged in the Lord's service, dwells within eternal reality wherever he may go within the material and spiritual worlds. So, tasmaritam jagadasisham satsarupam Svapnabhamastadisharam purudukadukam Vayeva nityasukapuratanapanante Amayat yadapiyat sarvavapati So Om Gana Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Actually, when I read this particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, It reminded me of the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first two shlokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam, part of the first two shlokas. The first shloka, of course, is Janma Dyasya Yudhahad Vayad, etc. And so the part that's relevant to this verse is, by him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, just as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. That's the first verse, part of the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was thinking about that, and then just this morning I heard a class by Prabhupada. It was really interesting. Prabhupada was it was an arrival address. And Prabhupada had just come on an airplane. And on the airplane, he had watched part of the movie. Sometimes Prabhupada would watch a movie on the airplane. You know, just to see what the culture is. I mean, there's that one story where they were playing a Charlie Chaplin movie and Prabhupada was laughing. And all the devotees were trying to avoid watching it because they thought it was Maya, but Prabhupada was watching and laughing. Anyway, so this particular case, it wasn't a Charlie Chaplin movie. Prabhupada was watching a movie, or part of a movie. There was a young boy and a young girl, a romantic movie. You know what I'm talking about? Young boy, young girl? No. Anyway, whatever. You're all so detached from the material world, you don't know about that. So there was a young boy and a young girl, and Prabhupada, he didn't really get into criticizing the young boy and the young girl of the movie. He said, this is natural. And when I first said, natural, what's wrong? Natural, we don't want that. Anyways, so then Prabhupada started talking about, yes, in the spiritual world, there's a young boy with a young girl, and that's Krishna and Radharani. And so it's a natural thing. So the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. You know, so actually if you're a young boy, which I don't think anyone here is a young boy. We got some young girls here, but anyway, if you're a young boy, you're actually thinking that you're the Purusha. You understand? You're thinking you're Krishna. And the young girl is thinking she's Radharani. Anyway, I mean, they may not say that, although sometimes in the Bollywood films, you have the man say, I'm your Krishna and you're my Radharani. You ever hear that? Or I'm your Ram and you're my Sita. Of course, they never say, I'm your Nrsimhadev. That's probably more appropriate. Anyway, apart from that, this mature world is described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as a reflection, described like a banyan tree is reflected upon a body of water, and the roots are up and the branches are down. And the banyan tree is described in the Gita is so complicated, you can't really tell where it begins and where it ends. I mean, a real big banyan tree. I've seen sometimes you have them in Fiji, some of these really big ones that cover almost an acre of land. And so that's the material world. And it's sort of a reflection of the spiritual realm. So we have these same, Prabhupada was talking about how we have the same relationships, you know, the parental relationship, the conjugal relationship, the friendship relationship, the servitude relationship, and you know, the passive relationship. So we have these relationships. So it's because, the point I'm making, it's because of the nature of the spiritual world that we have these relationships here. Because everything that we have here must be in the cause of everything. Like if you have, Prabhupada will oftentimes give the example, like if you have, give someone $100, then you must have more than $100. You must have at least $100, but probably more. In other words, I couldn't give you $100 unless I had $100 to give you. So the same way, whatever we see in the emanation must be in the cause. And the cause, of course, is Krishna, who has so much variety, and there's so much variety in this material world, too. So, in the second verse of the Bhagavatam is another quote that I wanted to read. The highest truth is reality, distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. So, anyway, so let's talk about illusion, which all of us are in right now, right? And illusion is very interesting. It's one of the six whips that we're tortured with. You know what? A whip is something that you torture someone with. Just like in certain countries, that if you actually do something wrong, I think it's Singapore, they whip you. You heard about this before? You're publicly whipped. And one country actually, if you do something wrong, they throw stones at you and stone you to death. I was just reading about that. You know, if you happen to have a little different inclination in life, they just stone you to death, you know, public stoning. So anyway, so Krishna has these whips for us too, things that torture us. And I'm not talking about right now the Adhyatmik Adhibodhikana Dipak, although that's part of the whole thing. So the first whip mentioned, among which illusion is one of them, is hunger. So we're whipped by hunger. You know, sometimes we're very hungry. We're whipped by thirst. We're whipped by lamentation and, of course, illusion and invalidity and ultimately death. These are the six whips. So let's talk about illusion. Actually, there's five types of illusion according to the Vedic literatures. One type of illusion is attachment. You're attached to things. Another type of illusion is pride. And you see, actually, these types of illusion are dealt with in Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastika. Right? Nadanam najanam nasindami kavitam ba jagadishe kamaye. That's it, attachment. And then you have Amanina manadena kirtaniya sarare trinadapi sunicheta tarari vasihishna manina manadena kirtaniya sarare. Isn't it? See how you actually see the Lord Chaitanya Shikshashka deals with these particular types of illusion. And then there's hatred. How many of us experience hatred towards someone? Just like if someone takes something from you or threatens you, like you ladies, if someone takes your boyfriend away, or a man, if someone takes your girlfriend, of course, some of you are too old for that. Of course. Anyway. So, you feel hate towards someone. Or someone interferes. The main point is someone interferes with your sense gratification in some way. Of course, that's not a Vaishnava quality. A Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi, compassionate for everyone, considering others' happiness more important than one's own happiness. And as Lord Kapiladeva states, Tatikshivara kurunika surida sarvadena ajatashatra shanta sarva sarvushana. These are the qualities that we're supposed to exhibit. Tatikshiva, tolerance, karunika, merciful towards all other living entities. Surada sarva dehina. That means a friend to all living entities. So you see, all these things involve other people. Surada sarva. Ajata shatra. That means one whose enemy is never born. Just like Yudhisthira Maharaj. Another name for Yudhisthira Maharaj was Jatashatru. That means the person who doesn't have an enemy, whose enemy has never been born. So this is one of the types of illusion. And then also ignorance. Ignorance here referring not to being ignorant of some material thing, like if someone says, you know, how do you design a house or something like that. That's not ignorance. It's like ignorance of the soul, ignorance of one's identity, ignorance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the final type of illusion is false identification. False identification means upadhi. We're designating ourselves as this body. We're designating ourselves as, you know, coming from Fiji, you know, it's a particular nationality. We're designating ourselves as a particular family, or our work, or whatever it is. That's all false identification. So these types of illusion affect even the demigods, because Muyanti Atharya, that's a statement in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that even the demigods, like Lord Brahma, get bewildered by it. You know, so we have a good excuse. So don't blame me. Even Lord Brahma gets bewildered. I mean, so we'll give some examples of that. Like, of course, even when Lord Brahma was first creating the universe, you know, actually, you know, we don't like talking about this story, but he became so illusioned, he started chasing after his own daughter. That's horrible. Of course, we don't. Actually, the sages that laughed at him, they later became the Shudgarbhas, the ones that were killed by Kamsa. You know that? So, I mean, you have to be careful. Don't criticize Vaishnava. Of course, you can criticize an act, but don't criticize the person. So that's not an appropriate act. So even Lord Brahma was bewildered, and then you, of course, you have even Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, when he heard about the Mohini Murti incarnation, he said to Krishna, "Let me see that incarnation." And so Krishna said, "Okay, here we go." And so Krishna displayed that particular incarnation or manifestation, Mohini Murti, for those of you who don't know who that is. That is Krishna in the female form. And so then Lord Shiva started chasing after Mohini. He couldn't control himself. Actually became, I mean, Lord Shiva is a special personality. Don't want to criticize, but he was running all over the world chasing her. He was so bewildered by her. Of course, that's Krishna. Sorry to be bewildered by Krishna. So that shows that even the great demigods, they get bewildered. And then you have the story in the Bhagavatam of Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi, he was meditating and Krishna came and Krishna said, "What do you want? What benediction do you want?" And he said, "I wanted the benediction of understanding or seeing Maya." We don't need that benediction. We already got it. You gotta say every day. So anyway, so Krishna was thinking, basically he was thinking, why is he asking for this? You know, why doesn't he ask for something cool like, you know, going back to Godhead or things like that? And so then Krishna said, "All right, here we go." And then Markandeya Rishi found himself in the ocean of devastation. That means like a big ocean at the time of the cosmic devastation. And he was floating on it, and there were all these gigantic fish, you know, that were just like trying to eat him. Of course, they didn't eat him. And he was suffering for like millions of years on this ocean just because he wanted to see Maya. You know, I think there's an easier way, you know. Just watch a Bollywood film, you can understand what Maya is. But, so He was floating on the ocean of devastation. And there were gigantic Timengilla fish. There's a Timengilla fish that could swallow a boat, basically. So anyway, so then eventually, floating, he sees himself. He sees an island there, and on the island there's a banyan tree, and there's a big leaf on the banyan tree. And on one of those big leaves of the banyan tree, there's a little baby. And so the baby's really attractive, happens to be Krishna. So he goes up to the baby, and, you know, affectionate. I guess he's affectionate towards the baby. The baby breathes in and sucks him in his body. And then he finds himself in his ashram. So, I mean, that's illusion. He's a great sage. You know, practically speaking, a pure devotee, you saw Krishna. And he's bewildered by that. And then you have other stories in the Vedic literature, like Indra. Like, Indra was cursed one time to become a pig. So Indra became a pig. And, you know, he was had a pig family and pig babies, you know, everything. Piglets, sorry. Baby pigs. And he was happy. He was really happy. So then what happened? There's a famous story Prabhupada's told several times. What happened is that they missed him in the heavenly planets. There wasn't anyone to take care of his service. So anyway, they went down and said, Indra, it's time to come back. You know, you're forgiven now. And he said, no. I have so many responsibilities. That's illusion. Can you imagine? You know, you're a pig. You can just put yourself in that situation. Oink, oink. Like, there's my pig family. You know, it's a sannyas class, I guess. Anyways, there's my family there, you know, and my grandchildren pigs or whatever. Anyway, and he said, no, I'm not going back, you know. It's just so attached, so much attachment. And he had some knowledge too, but you know, attachment is very strong, illusion is very strong. So then what happens is they arrange so that his pig family is sent to the slaughterhouse, and he sees them being taken. He says, all right, I'm going back now. So, I mean, Prabhupada told that story. And of course, even Indra tried to kill the residents of Vrindavan too. The Govardhan Leela, where Krishna protected the residents of Vrindavan by lifting up Govardhan Hill with the pinky of his left hand. So you find all these instances. So how do we overcome this illusion? And Krishna in the Gita says, Daiva Yeshu Gunamayi Amama Maya Durachya. He says, actually, it's very difficult to overcome this illusion because it's Mama Maya. Mama Maya means it's Krishna's energy. So how can you defeat Krishna's energy? It's actually, you know, basically almost impossible to defeat. And therefore this illusion, Prakriti Kriyabhanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashah Ahankara Vimunatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. The conditioned soul is thinking to himself, the doer, Prakriti Kriyamanai Gunai, under the influence of the modes of nature, Ahankara Vimudatma, he's bewildered. Vimudham means bewildered. Kartaham Iti Manyate, we think ourselves the doer, the protector, the maintainer, and all these other things like this. So let's talk more about what an illusion is. Let's refer to the one of the chapter sloka verses of the Bhagavatam, which we mentioned the other day in class. Retayamitam na pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tadvidya atmano mayam yata vasha yata tamaha. Everybody remember that verse? No. What can I do? Tevatam. So Krishna, in this particular verse, describes illusion and indirectly describes how to get out of illusion, which I'll describe in another verse, in Bengali in a second. He describes how to get out of illusion indirectly in this verse. He says, illusion is when you see anything without connection to me. He says, anything without connection to me, in other words, you can see anything without connection to me. Know this to me, my illusory energy, which is like a reflection that appears in darkness. So when you're seeing things disconnected from Krishna, that's illusion. Very, very simple. And then also a similar verse, which I mentioned in Bengali, is Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun. Maya Haya Andhakar. Maya is the darkness. So illusion is simply the absence of Krishna. So if you have Krishna, then you don't have illusion. Like if you have light, you don't have darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. You shine a light, there's no darkness. So, the way to actually get out of illusion, as I mentioned, you keep Krishna in your mind, yo mam pashati sarvatra, sarvachamayi pashati tashaham na pranashami, sachame na pranashati. That's 6:30 in the Bhagavad Gita. Then Krishna says in 6:30 of the Bhagavad Gita, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. This is one of my favorite verses. That, in other words, how do you see Krishna everywhere? All right, so the question is, how do you see Krishna everywhere? I mean, do you look and you see a little floating super soul everywhere? You know, of course, then if you did that, you'd run into trees if you were driving a car. So, basically, you see your activities as connected to Krishna. It's like we were reading the Prabhupada memories yesterday about Tumal Krishna Maharaj. And every day when we go to people's houses, we're reading these memories. It's really enlivening, isn't it? The hear Prabhupada's memories. So we're reading this one memory where the Tumal Krishna Maharaj was asking Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I don't want to be involved in management anymore. I just want to study. And because he was in Bombay and there was heavy management there, you know, really heavy stuff, like the people were attacking, I mean, so much trying to construct things, finish the temple. And Prabhupada said, you should see management as archana. Archana means like worship of the deities. You know, generally you think, worship of the deities, real brahminical. You offer arti, you know, it's ecstatic. But archana, it's one of the nine processes of devotional service. You know, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, etc. Hearing, chanting, remembering, offering everything, etc. So, Prabhupada was describing it, and then he said, no need to study. It was a really interesting discussion. Prabhupada said, just give class, and that way you'll learn. Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't study. I'm just saying this is Prabhupada's instruction to him at that point. Because generally, we think, I just want to be Krishna conscious and run away. Run away from all this headache, you know, all these people. You know, sometimes I say, Krishna consciousness would be great if there weren't any devotees. So, it'd be real easy. It would just be in Krishna. It'd be easy. So, sometimes we run away, but we have to see the connection there. So, it's management or business. It's like Sanatana's big businessman, Mahavaniya. So, or, you know, Johnny Good Ram is driving taxi. But it's all connected with Krishna. It's all connected, you know, Brahma Pranam, Brahma Harvya, Brahma Agno, Brahma Nahutam. Brahma Tena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhan. One should see that if something's being offered to Krishna, and you think like that, that I'm offering the results to Krishna, offering my work to Krishna, that's, I'm doing it for Krishna. So, in other words, how do you connect the work to Krishna? You understand who you're doing it for. You think about not simply what you're doing, not simply how you're doing, but why you're doing it. If you are conscious and meditate on the why, then you'll be very blissful in Krishna consciousness all the time and you won't be an illusion. But if you're simply thinking of the how and the what, you can get into illusion. You know, like I'm giving class and I just think, how to give class, what to speak about, it's not. Then I can fall into illusion, thinking myself, you know, great class giver or whatever. And, but if I think of why, who am I, you know, why entails, why, who am I doing it for? You know, what is the purpose of my giving class? Is it to impress people? No, it's to please Prabhupada, to serve Krishna and please Krishna. Then there's no illusion. If you just simply have that why principle in front of you and connect it with Krishna, you know, should be the right why, not just why because, you know, I get prasadam. Why am I doing arti so I can get to eat afterwards? Like, you know, Samukha, why am I worshiping the East? I got a free flat. Get to sell my house, a free flat, you know. Just a little puja every day. No. No, you can't think like that, but don't think like that. I'm doing this to become Krishna conscious, to please Krishna, please the spiritual master, to please Radharani, you know, and if you connect like that, then there's no illusion. That's the Krishna Surya Sam. Otherwise, you can be an illusion as you're doing your service. Because, you know, we're talking about, like, pride is one of the aspects of illusion. So you can be very proud. You can be very angry. Ah, this devotee doesn't listen to me. I hate him. You know. You can't, if you do that, then you're an illusion. You're falling into any of these different divisions. Or, I am a sannyasi, or I am a guru. That's the false identification again. So, you know, all these divisions of illusion can be avoided if you always remember why. So, any questions or comments? Yes. Lajimata, you have a question. Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes it very simple for us to have a purpose of, like, if you are doing, you are walking.
Right.
So it makes it very simple that we know why we are doing it. Like, sometimes the days are not good. The question why I'm doing it, why I'm moving this time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on the same note, so why the person was doing so was because the answer was I'm doing this because I have to maintain my Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
The option was to do something else, but was not like not so easy as that. So how do we tackle this?
How do we deal with that? Yeah, that's a Kava thing. It's a big question. We have many devotees who are big Kava sellers right now, especially in Lambasa. We have one devotee who has one of the main drying plants for kava, and he's doing really well, has a lot of children now. So anyway, one of my disciples. So I was thinking about that, and then I thought, I mean, maybe this is just making a justification or excuse, but I thought that every endeavor that someone does has some connection with things that are not nice. I mean, obviously one shouldn't open a slaughterhouse. I think that's beyond justification. But let's say you're a nurse in the hospital. Don't you have to arrange sometimes for people to eat something that's not Krishna conscious? Yeah. So you're a taxi driver. Don't your passengers sometimes carry meat with them? It's hard for me to think of an occupation where there's not indirect or even direct connection with something that's not so nice. Obviously, what can you do? What can you do? So kava could also be medicinal. And people have sleep problems. And actually it's made one of the main export incomes for Fiji right now, shipping to the good old United States, where people are taking the sleep aids. Because you go into the health food store and you can buy pills of kava, and people are not taking it to get intoxicated, taking it as a sleep aid. So it's a mixed thing, and I think that if we start criticizing people who are selling kava, we really have to start criticizing the nurses, we have to start criticizing the taxi drivers, poor Sumuki supplying electricity for the slaughterhouse right now. Why don't you just cut off their electricity? You should talk to Parashurama and cut off the electricity for all the slaughterhouses, all the bars and liquor stores, because you're responsible. You're directly facilitating sinful activity, Sumuk. So, I can think of any occupation and there's some connection. In the beginning days of the movement, we would support the movement by selling incense. Incense was 99% used to cover the smoke of marijuana, the smell of marijuana in those days. They weren't doing puja. The hippies weren't doing puja at home for Radha and Krishna. They were smoking marijuana. And so their parents wouldn't discover it. They burnt a lot of incense. I remember going to a concerts with incense. We would get a bundle of incense this big, you know, like hundreds, 200 sticks, light them all like this, and give out each stick and collect donations. You know, everybody would give a dollar for a stick of incense. You know, I remember one day I think I collected $1,000 just by handing out incense to the hippies. So, I was facilitating marijuana smoking. Rupanuga, you had a question? Yeah. He said every endeavor is covered by some sort of fault, just like fire is covered by smoke. So one should just, you have to be practical. I mean, we're living in the real world. We're not going to be like sages in the forest. Okay. We have to end. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.